is one of our favourite guests to have on the show. Rafa calls him a good old London bloke. We just call him one of the top journalists in the UK. He is the great Sammy Mockbell, joining us here from the Daily Mail here on World Football Daily. Sammy, how are you doing today, mate? It's a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Very good. How are you, mate?
Very well indeed, my man. Very well indeed. You were down there to listen to Jose Mourinho along with what seemed like, you know, 300 other members of the media down at that press conference. It wasn't the explosion that we were expecting from Jose. Very kind of reserved, really, from considering what we all expected.
Yeah, definitely. No, it was certainly a media and press frenzy down there. I think there was 250 journalists, something like 30 or 40 camera crew. So it was a pretty lively affair. But yeah, no, compared to his unveiling in 2004, yesterday's press conference was a fairly tame affair. I think he went out of his way not to give us press boys a headline. But nevertheless, mate, it's Mourinho, isn't it? So it's always entertaining. It's always quite enthralling to just to be in the same room as him, you know, and listen to what he's got to say.
From a media point of view, has there been kind of in the national press, at least, have you missed having Mourinho there? Because, like him or loathe him, he does have a very kind of unique way of interacting with the press at his press conferences. He will let his guard down and have a joke with you at times.
Yeah, it sells newspapers, Ollie. That's the key thing with Mourinho. That's the key thing with regards to, you know, to us press boys, you know, wanting him back, and they've now got him back. That, you know, he does sell newspapers. But there's always a sort of an element of not knowing what to expect when you turn up to one of his press conferences, which in many ways is a good thing, isn't it? Because it makes for exciting news stories and newspaper stories. But as you say, he does wear his heart on his sleeve a little bit, and he tends to say what he feels and not what the club tells him to say, which is great for us because, you know, it certainly makes it sort of explosive newspaper stories.
It was almost classic for Jose to not stick to the script yesterday when everybody's expecting him to maybe be a bit lively and a bit outspoken again, and he's a bit reserved. Were you taken aback about how reserved he was, or were you kind of expecting it going into that press conference?
Yeah, no. To be honest, I was kind of expecting it, and also at the same time, we have to remember that when he was actually confirmed as manager last Monday now, he actually did a 25-minute interview with the Chelsea TV their in-house, you know, in-house channel, where to be honest, he covered a lot of the topics that were brought up yesterday. But there was still a few elements of you know, the old Mourinho sort of charm coming through. He had a bit of a dig at Iker Casillas. Casillas sort of said that he's damaged Spanish football, and Mourinho had a bit of a go back at him. So it wasn't all nicey.
Yeah, there were some lines that were touched on that you can kind of bring something out. One that really stood out to me was when he said that everybody at this club is moving in the right way, how everything has to be private between him and Abramovich and not be brought up in the media. But then he went on to say throughout the course of that answer that, of course, my area here at the club is the sports area and the football area. Was that Mourinho making a public display just to make sure everybody knows who's in charge of what goes on the pitch? Something that was questionable last time and considering his departure from Chelsea last time.
I don't know if I'd read too much into that, but because and particularly given that, you know, he's only been in the job back in the job for 7 days, so I think trying to maybe, you know, pick a little bit of a battle with Roman, which wouldn't be too good an idea at the moment, but only time will tell over the summer, you know, to see if he can get the signings he wants in, and you know, the recommendations he makes for players actually come off, and if they don't, I'm sure we'll know about it, mate, come September the 1st.
Before we look into where he might go in this transfer window and how his impact is going to be on Chelsea and the old boys, just one last one about the press conference, Sammy. When Mourinho, maybe a little more humble, a little more subdued, as we said already, Is this been a real learning curve for him going to Inter and then having his trouble at Real Madrid as well? And is this a far more mature Mourinho? Do you get that sense coming back to Chelsea and a guy that is looking for stability and wanting to maybe stay for an extended period of time at this club?
I think stability was sort of the key word yesterday at his press conference. He used it many times, and he also used it many times in his interview with Chelsea TV last week. And to say if he's mellowed, I think he certainly has. I think obviously that comes with experience. He's been around Europe now, Italy, Portugal, England, Spain, and he's been successful at every destination he's been at. And he spoke this about trying to lay down sort of roots now, and sort of trying to build a legacy, and hopefully he can do that. He was asked a question. As to whether he thinks he'd be in the job if they didn't win the Premier League next season, and he was confident that he did, that he would be in the job even if they didn't win the Premier League, which suggests to me that maybe he's been given those assurances that this is more we want you here for the long term. This is not just a short term project for us to win the Premier League and the Champions League in one season. This is a longer term project, and I think he'll be there for certainly, hopefully. Beyond the 4 years of his contract.
If Mourinho, he wants stability, do Chelsea, do that board want stability? Because since Mourinho's gone, they've been the most successful club in England in terms of the number of trophies that they've brought in since Mourinho went and since this chopping of changing of managers has gone on at the club. Being unstable hasn't kind of reduced the amount of success that's gone into Chelsea Football Club. Is this just a new approach now that maybe Abramovich wants to bring in there?
Yeah, I think we've criticised the club for not showing that stability over the years. Particularly with the sacking of Carlo Ancelotti, who did a fantastic job there. He won the Premier League and then finished second and then got the sack. While we criticise them, it's hard to criticise them because they've been so successful. Namely the season before last, where they sacked Andre Villas-Boas. Everyone criticised them for doing so. Brought in Roberto Di Matteo, and they ended up winning the Champions League. So while many of us would frown upon the approach, it certainly worked for them.
Now, we used to love last time Mourinho was back in the Premier League, of course, the title battles between Chelsea and Manchester United, and already an early battle potentially between these two clubs in terms of Wayne Rooney and his future at Manchester United. Is Rooney a real target that Chelsea, you think, might pursue? And especially with all this hanging around Lewandowski's move to Bayern Munich, does that affect potentially whether Rooney could be at United or not if United do go for Lewandowski later on in the summer?
I think it's no secret that United are in for him and like Lewandowski. If he did it rather Old Trafford, that would certainly place more question marks over Wayne Rooney's future. But I would find it difficult to see United selling to an English club, if I'm honest. They're not stupid, and they know selling Wayne Rooney to Chelsea could easily backfire on them come the end of next season. So I can't see if Wayne Rooney does move, I can hardly see him moving abroad. And then that begs the question as to say, does Wayne Rooney actually want to move abroad and play football abroad? And I think all the indications are towards that is that I predict he'll end up staying at Man United.
Well, I think Manchester United fans will be very pleased to hear that, Sammy. It's going to be something that remains throughout the summer. In terms of Chelsea and who they'll bring in now, Mourinho will obviously want to make changes. Who is your most likely kind of couple of players that Chelsea will bring in and where they need to improve in this side to play under Mourinho?
It's the forward line, isn't it? And that's where the focus will be. In terms of strengthening their squad, I know they've held talks with Fiorentina, and from my understanding, a deal for Stevan Jovetic is quite far down the line now. So I expect developments with that in the not too sort of distant future. Obviously, they've also begun talks with Napoli for a possible move for Edinson Cavani. But the problem is with that deal is that it's so expensive. It's so expensive. It's, his release clause is £53 million, which I know Chelsea just don't want to pay. Well, his wages will be sort of around 250, £250,000 a week, which would make him sort of, one of the best paid players in the Premier League. So the total package of that deal is massive. And whether if Chelsea want to actually pay that amount of money for the player remains to be seen. But certainly, sort of the forward and attacking areas that look like Mourinho wants to strengthen first.
Do you agree with that philosophy? They've got a healthy number of guys to go forward. They've only played in general one striker in front of that front three of Oscar, Mata, and Hazard. Do you think pushing on and bringing in more forward players is really the right way for Chelsea to go this summer?
And let's not forget that the Cappy's going to be coming back into the club as well. And from what we understand, he'll be given a role at the club next season. So. See Lukaku there as well with Torres and Barr. I think if you look at last season, Torres, barring the last, maybe 2 months of the season, was with a disappointment. Barr hit the ground running, but I think he tailed off towards the end. And I don't think if you're Mourinho looking at that squad and looking at your forward line, I don't think you would trust. Your options in terms of Barr and Torres going into the season and thinking you have a realistic chance of winning the Premier League or the Champions League. So I think he's actually right in trying to go and find himself a new Tottenham striker.
The other element, of course, in the title race will be Manchester City. We're waiting day by day for Manuel Pellegrini to be put in charge officially of the other Manchester club. Pellegrini's arrival, it was mentioned actually in your paper in the Daily Mail earlier on over the weekend, that could mean the end of a lot of playing time for the English players in that City squad. Do you see that? Do you see Pellegrini will want to La Liga-ize Manchester City? And if so, this is another negative impact on England international football in a week where we've seen international football really struggle with the under-21s.
Absolutely. Listen, I can't. We won't know the answer to that question until we're 2 or 3 months down the line of next season. But if you look at the English talent there, you've got James Milner, who I can't imagine he played too much of a part under Pellegrini. Gareth Barry, will he play a part? Julian Lescott, the only one I really think is. Would be guaranteed a first team place at the English side. There would be Joe Hart. So it's worrying time for them, I think, there, mate.
And this England national team debate and the problems with the national game will continue on. We obviously had a half decent result against Brazil at the Maracanã, but the under-21s underperforming, and Stuart Pearce saying that he's not been given the opportunity to play some of the players that he wanted to. We thought the St George's Park kind of development would help strengthen our national game. It's not obviously worked at the moment. Are we really looking like we have to go back to the bare bones, to the grassroots football of 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, and the style of football that we start playing there and the way we handle it all the way up? Does that completely have to be readjusted here in England?
Yes, without any shadow of a doubt. I remember a little years ago when I was playing, playing park football and Sunday football, when I was a kid, it was invariably, the biggest, tallest kid would be the striker, and your instructions was to give the ball to the big, tall, lump of a centre forward as quickly as you can. And this is when you're 8, 9 years old. And what sort of way is that to sort of nurture young talent? And I know, things. What kids are taught in Spain now, and as now in Germany and Italy, are completely different. So there has to be a complete revamp of coaching techniques if we are to, come out of this slump.
There's the idea then that maybe foreign managers coming into the Premier League are forcing English players out of the Premier League because they don't fit into the style that the foreign managers would like to play. Is there a point to be made that maybe we should have more foreign coaches at the younger level? so we can introduce this style of play. I mean, we saw Roberto Martinez do that with the Swansea side and ingrain it into this Swansea club, if you will, up through all the levels. Is there an argument that we should actually have more foreign coaches down at the under 20, under 18 level?
I think in the short term that would be an answer, but there has to be a focus on making sure that we develop and we produce those sort of coaches over here. And we need to have, and St George's Park is hopefully can produce those quality of coaches. But there has to be a focus on trying to maintain an excellent and a good focus and a good level of coaching here. And I don't understand, and it's hard for me to sort of comprehend why Spain and Germany produce so many good coaches when we struggle to do so at the moment, and it's difficult for me to understand why.
If you were in the member of the FA right now, if you were, say, David Bernstein, or even if you were part of Roy Hodgson's England camp, would you have allowed Stuart Pearce to take some of these experienced younger players and put them in that under 21 side, or would you have encouraged them to be taken along with the senior squad to get time playing in that senior squad in preparation for potentially the World Cup next year?
In my opinion, they should be with the 21s. Tournament football is invaluable experience. And listen, I can understand, the pull of going to the plane in America now, in a senior England international. But those young kids, the likes of Chamberlain and Jack Rodwell and Phil Jones, in my opinion, would be better suited playing in Israel with the 21s, and that will leave them in much better stead for Brazil next summer, hopefully, if we qualify.
Sammy, if we had you at the FA, mate, I'm sure that it would take no time at all for us to be able to sort out this England national team and have us in contention.
I'm not too sure, mate. I'm not too sure.
Give yourself some credit, my mate. Give yourself some credit. But Sammy, we appreciate you taking some time out, giving us some of the inside info from Jose Mourinho's press conference yesterday, and we look forward to chatting with you throughout this summer and next season about the special one, or the happy one, as we should now be calling him, mate.
That's it. Now, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no problem at all, mate.
Cheers, Sammy. Have a fantastic day, and we'll speak to you soon, mate. Take care.
Cheers, Ali. See you, mate. Bye.
Sammy Mockbell joining us here from the Daily Mail here on World Football Daily to talk all things Jose Mourinho, his return to the Premier League, and, of course, a lot about the England national team as well as the...